So, can y'all bring up the house just a little bit? So, the message there is that it's not what we know, but it's who we know. That this isn't going to be the end of the world in December, no matter what the Mayan calendar said. But James chapter 4, verse 14 says that our life is like a vapor. It's brief. It's like a mist. It's here one moment, then gone. And so the truth is, our life will end. There will come a time when the end. Jesus is coming back. And in that moment, the way you survive is by you know Jesus. You got to have a relationship with Jesus. That's what we're talking about tonight. Having a personal relationship with Christ. And you don't have to be afraid when you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Let me go back through a couple of things that we've talked about so far. What the cast was trying to communicate with the, remember the Yellow Brick Road skit with the Fairy Godfather? You guys remember that? That was just a minute ago. Well, the point of that skit is that we're not of this world. This world is not our home. And the other part of that was to stay on the narrow path, right? And there's some verses in the Bible that say that specifically. We're not of this world. That Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, right? And when they came to arrest him, he made that statement. He said, my kingdom is not of this world, or else otherwise my disciples would have risen up and fought against this, but it's not of this world. So this world is not our home. That was kind of the message of that skit. And then the lip sync skit, you know, the end of the world as we know it, and don't waste your life thing they were doing there with the dance. That was very interesting, their dance skills. That's why they're in drama, not the dance team. Just saying. Not trying to throw them under the bus or anything, but I got better dance. No, I'm just kidding. You don't believe me? I could do some moves. Play a song? I would, but it's not the moment right now. It's not in the outline. We can't do anything that's not in the outline. So we'll plan that in for the next show. Luke improv. Luke chapter 12, and the point of that skit, Jesus says, no man knows the hour, right? No man knows the hour, but it will come. There will come a time. And we may be alive when Jesus comes back, we may not. But the world will end, and our life will come to an end. But the point they were trying to make in that skit is you don't have to be afraid of the end. Because Jesus, the Bible says, there is no fear in love. And God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I want to tell you a quick little story. And I tried to get away from this story a lot, but it kept coming back to me as we were planning for this show. And there's this one story, one of my all-time favorite stories, a lesson that God taught me, and one of the most vivid moments in my life of learning this truth about how impactful love is and how perfect love casts out fear. And so, where's my son, Gabe? Gabe, you in here? There he is, back there. Come here, Gabe. This is my oldest son. He's 18 years old. And, So I really appreciated Blake making me feel old just a few minutes ago, talking about how some of these people were not even alive when Youthquake started. I mean, man. So this is Gabe, and he's my oldest son. He's 18, and he's huge. Thanks. Stand down there. There we go. That's much better. Okay. So, and I have a daughter, Lydia. She was just in that last skit, and my other son, Josiah, is around here somewhere, and he's 12. But years ago, when we were in, we went on a vacation with some friends of ours, the McCraneys, and we were down in this place called Siesta Key, Florida. And you know the story? Okay, you can go sit down right there for a minute. I might call you back. So we were down in Siesta Key, and Joe wasn't born yet, and we're there on the beach. And this Siesta Key is on the Gulf Coast of Florida. And the water's real mellow, really pretty. It was, you know, it was fun being there with the kids. And Gabe and Lydia are up playing in the sand with some of the McCraney's kids. And all these stingrays, like, were just schools of stingrays were coming by. And you could go stand in the water, like, up to your waist, and the stingrays would just go right around you. And you could, like, actually, like, brush their back as they went by. I'm like, this is so cool. So I'll go up and tell Gabe and Lydia. I'm like, hey, man, you guys need to come down here and see the stingrays. They're swimming right by you. And they're like, wait, hold on. Sting? No, thanks. I'm good right here in the sand. I'm like, no, they're not really going to sting you. And Gabe's like, he was 7 at the time. And he's like, then why are they called stingrays? Dang it. And I was like, well, they're not going to sting you. You can trust me. They're just going to, no, I don't want to see the stingrays. And I'm like getting more agitated. I'm like, you guys, this is so rare to see them like this. You got to come see. And I say to Lydia, I'm like, they're just like big water butterflies. And Lydia goes, I like butterflies. And she, right? She just goes right down to the water. Gabe's like, fine, you guys go look at the butterflies. I'm going to play in the sand. And I'm getting mad. And I'm like, Gabriel, listen to me. You can trust me. These stingrays are not going to hurt you. I want you to come see these stingrays. This is an awesome experience. No thanks, Dad. I don't want to go. Now, here's where I failed as a father. You guys probably know where I'm going. I grabbed him by the arm. And I'm like, Gabriel, I am your father, and I am not going to let you be controlled by fear. And I start dragging him down the beach, and he's dragging his feet like this. And he starts crying. And then all of a sudden, he says something to me, and he said it, and at the moment he said it, I knew that it was not him. I knew that God was speaking to me through my seven-year-old because he said something to me that seven-year-olds don't normally say. And he looks up at me with tears in his eyes, and he says, Dad, why don't you respect me? That's what I said, wow. And I stopped right there on the beach, and I sat down for a minute, and I got a lump in my throat. And I realized, man, he's right. This is not an issue of right and wrong. This is me forcing my will on him to do something I want him to do. And I realized he was right. And I said, we talked for a few minutes, you know, and I said, Gabe, man, I'm sorry. You're right, Gabe. If you don't want to go see the stingrays, you don't have to see the stingrays, and I shouldn't force you to do something like that just because I want you to, and I do respect you. And you can stay up here and play in the sand, man, and I'm really sorry. And I'm kind of, you know, tearing up and got a lump in my throat. And I said, Gabriel, will you forgive me? And he says, yes, Dad, I forgive you. And then he said, now let's go see the stingrays. True story. And so here's what I learned from that. A couple of things is when you communicate to somebody that you don't trust them, it communicates to them, or when you communicate to somebody you don't respect them, it causes fear to rise up in them because it says to them you don't love them. And when you demonstrate to somebody that you respect them, then you demonstrate that you love them. And when you demonstrate that you love them, the fear is gone. And the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Right? Why am I telling you that story right now? Because God demonstrated his love for you. And that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. God demonstrated his love for you, and that while you wanted nothing to do with him, and maybe even tonight you got tricked into coming here. And what I'm trying to say to you is God has demonstrated his love for you, that he took your sin upon himself. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that Jesus took the penalty of our sin upon himself on the cross. He paid the price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. The payment that is due all of us because of our sin and our rebellion is death. But Jesus took that upon himself. He paid that debt for us. And he won a victory over death. And now offers to us life through him by faith. Right? So, you don't need to be afraid. You can trust God because he has demonstrated to you that he loves you. Just like I learned in that lesson, the other thing I learned in that little experience with Gabe is that God can speak to me anywhere. God can speak to me through my seven-year-old. God can speak to me through a pastor. God can speak to me through a friend. God can speak to me through a sermon that I hear on a podcast. When our heart is open and we're listening to the Lord, he speaks to us. And maybe tonight he's speaking to you right now. Maybe the reason that you're here tonight is you need to be reminded of some of these things. Some of you today maybe have even been a Christian a long time, but you haven't been trusting God because you've forgotten how much he absolutely, passionately loves you. Just a couple other thoughts to share with you tonight, and we have one more thing we want to show you. A dance that we want to do in just a moment. This really wasn't in my notes. This is something that I, earlier today, as we were, the cast and I were praying together, and before you guys all got here, we were here at 4:30, and then at 5 o'clock we had some prayer time together. One of the things we did in our prayer time is we just put everything on hold. We put the whole rehearsal on hold. We put everything that we normally do on hold. And we said, here's what we need to do as a cast. In this very room where you're sitting right now, we were gathered in here, and we said, all of us, man, we just need to have some time with Jesus. We need to have personal time with Jesus, because everything that we do in his name needs to be an overflow of our relationship with him. And I shared this verse with the cast, and I really hadn't planned on sharing it with you guys tonight, but I believe that I'm supposed to. This is in Acts chapter 4. And Peter and John, who are some of Jesus' disciples, were arrested, and they were placed on trial. And this is Peter and John who had walked with Jesus. Peter and John who heard Jesus teach. Peter and John who saw Jesus do miracles. Peter and John who saw him arrested. And Peter and John, or at least Peter and the other disciples, when Jesus was arrested, they ran away in fear and they hid. They knew who Jesus was, but they hid. When Jesus was crucified, they hid. But now all of a sudden we see in Acts chapter 4 something completely different. These disciples who had hidden because of fear, these very disciples who heard Jesus teach, saw Jesus do miracles, and saw him crucified, they hid in fear until something happened. And what happened that changed all that was Jesus rose from the dead, and they saw it. They witnessed it. And all of a sudden, these same disciples who were afraid and who were hiding are boldly preaching the gospel, even in the face of certain death. And all of them, except John, were martyred. All of them, some of them were brutally martyred. One of them was filleted alive with knives. But he wouldn't deny the faith. Why? Because he knew it was real. You don't die for something like that that you know is a lie. And they had already been afraid, but something changed. Jesus rose from the dead. And here's what happens in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are arrested. And now they're on trial in front of all kinds of people, in front of very educated, very intelligent, very influential people, in front of wealthy people, in front of people who were very religious and knew the scriptures. And now they're on trial. This is Peter, a fisherman, and John, right? These were not the people who had been trained in the best schools. And they're on trial, and this is what it says in verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So here's what happens. These two guys are on trial. They're arrested. And they're being pressured and they're being persecuted. And it says they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Something was different because when they spoke, there was courage and clarity and conviction. And they wouldn't back down. And they took note, these men had been with Jesus. It's about the relationship. And then the story goes on, and when you get over into the end of the chapter in verse 27, it says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now listen to this, it's so awesome. Now, Lord, consider their threats. So here they are, and this is their prayer. The very people that conspired against Jesus and who had him arrested and crucified, but all of that was a part of God's will, which they acknowledge. And they say, now they're threatening us. And he says, the prayer goes on, and they say, now, Lord, consider their threats. Watch what he prays. He doesn't pray that their threats stop. He doesn't pray that the persecution stops. They pray, they say, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak the word with great boldness. Give us boldness. Give us the ability to speak your word boldly, courageously, unapologetically. So the point is, what changed for them was they saw how God had demonstrated his love for them. And they understood it. It all made sense when Jesus rose from the dead. And everything came together. And they understood how he had been crucified. And they understood the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 53 and some of the Old Testament prophecies about what would happen and the kind of person the Messiah was going to be and how he was going to be handed over and he was going to be beaten and he was going to be executed. Now it all came together and it made sense to them. And what we're trying to say tonight is what we want you to understand is that God loves you passionately. He demonstrated his love for you. And that even while your heart was against him, Christ died for you. And the Bible says that the way that we're saved is by faith. It's by grace through faith. In John chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, Jesus is talking to Martha. And he says, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe this. So I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that? Do you believe that in your heart? Have you bowed your knee to Jesus? Have you really surrendered your life to him? Your life is brief. The Bible says it's better to go to funerals than to celebrate feasts because it reminds us of the brevity of life. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. How to survive the end of the world? Because we don't know. I mean, we know that no man knows the hour or the time, so we don't know when that might be, and we don't know when that might be for us. But the way to survive the end of the world is we don't live for this world. We live for eternity, right? We bow our knee to Jesus. We surrender our life to him. There is a hope that is before us, eternal life. That's how these disciples could be martyred for their faith. Because they knew this world is temporary anyway. I don't live for this world. His kingdom is not of this world. I live for that kingdom. So if you do something to me now, all you do is send me home quicker. The worst thing that could happen to me is you kill me, and then I go to heaven. Oh, well. It's a pretty good deal, right? We don't live for this world. I have a friend of mine whose wife died of cancer just a couple years ago. And he has two kids. And when she was battling cancer, they were really struggling with their faith and, God, how does this happen and why does this happen? And God showed him something. God showed him that we need to have an eternal perspective because our life, any of our life, is brief. Here's what he showed him. When you are, when you're 10 years old and you're told, what time is it? Is that right time back there? Okay. I'm almost finished. When you're told that, when you're 10 and you're told that in 6 years you get to drive a car, that feels like forever because your whole cognitive memory is only about 6 years. So your whole life memory is 6 years. So in 6 years I get to drive a car, that feels like forever. But if you're 60 years old and you're told that you only have 6 years to live, it feels like a very short time because now your whole perspective is 60 years of life. And so that seems very shorter. And here's what God showed my friend. We live life with an eternal perspective. And so on this earth, 18 years, 30 years, 60 years, 80 years, it's really no different in light of eternity from God's perspective. And that really gave him comfort and peace, not knowing at that time that ultimately his wife would pass. And he's not a pastor, but he was asked to teach a class at his church in St. Louis, and he taught that message. This was several years before she actually died, and after she died, he listened to that message again, and God used his own words to comfort him, to realize this life is temporary. What I'm trying to say to you guys and what the cast is trying to say to you guys tonight is the Mayan calendar is not right, but the bottom line is there will come a time when the world ends and our life ends, and what we need to do is we don't need to have fear about that because there's no fear in death for us that know Christ. Just that's how these disciples could die with such courage because they realized this life is temporary anyway. When you understand that, there is a joy. There is something that is released inside of you. There is a boldness and a courage and a joy inside of you that no matter what you face, you can endure it. No matter what happens. I've heard of missionaries standing before in front of somebody that's pointing a gun to their head, telling them that they're going to kill them. And they're okay with that. Because they're like, his life is temporary anyway. And many times, it doesn't work out. They try to pull the trigger and the gun doesn't work. You know, and the person gets saved. I heard about a guy that was being tortured for his faith in Romania. And he was in a prison cell where water was in the ground. And they would put a wire in there and electrocute him to make him deny his faith. And each time he would not deny his faith. Finally, they put the wire in there and he went, in Jesus' name, and he grabbed the wire. And all the power in the prison went out. And the guards got saved. That's awesome. Now, do not just go home and grab an electrical wire and go in Jesus' name and see if you can sort out everything in the house. That's probably not a good idea. But the point is, when you understand who you are in Christ, death has no fear. It has no sting. Man, imagine what could happen with a group like this. If we all really radically understood that, how would we live different? I believe that God's going to use you guys just like Peter and John. And it goes on to say, these guys turn the world upside down. And I believe he can use you to do the same thing. Do you believe that? We want you to experience the joy of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's kind of the spirit of this dance that we want to show you right now.